For the first time in 5 years, Formula One is back racing in China. Hello and welcome to F1 Nation, our second show in just a few days. In case you missed it, we did a special episode all about Fernando Alonso's decision to stay with Aston Martin. You can scroll back on your podcast feed to listen to that. This episode is our preview to the Chinese Grand Prix. I'm Tom Clarkson, and I'm joined by 1996 world champion Damon Hill and former McLaren driver and current Aston Martin ambassador Pedro de la Rosa. Guys, it's good to have you on the show. Now, we were busy with Alonso in our last episode, and I didn't have the chance to ask how you've been since Japan.
I'm very well. I've recovered because we, as you know, well, I can't really complain because everyone in Japan actually was in Japan and are now recovering from jet lag and the flight, whereas we were doing it from a studio, which was a bit odd, getting up in the middle of the night to cover the race. But anyway, it was that was interesting. I was a bit remote, but hopefully the viewers enjoyed it. And it was a good, interesting races in the strategy area, you know, a couple of good drives, and I thought it was a good race.
I've just returned from Japan, so happy to be back, but also very happy because I hadn't been in Australia nor Japan for 11 years. So it was fantastic to be back there and meet a lot of friends and see that, especially, you know, I lived in Japan 3 years, so it was really good to be there again. And honestly, I just found that the Suzuka remained unchanged, which is really, you know, it just stays genuine as it always been.
There is something magical about Suzuka. I remember, Pedro, back in 1999, your first season of Formula One, and you told me it's brilliant being in Japan because you're 7 hours ahead of Central Europe, 8 hours ahead of London, and we've all had Monday when they're still waking up. And I've sort of lived by that whenever I'm in the Far East ever since. I love just the fact you're on that side of the world.
I love to feel being ahead. And the good thing of traveling to the East is that you are always, you're waking up, you're doing your homework, you're preparing all your emails, you're just training. And then by the time Europe wakes up, you've already killed them with emails and stuff, you know, for them to be working. So you always feel ahead. And then at one point, you switch off your computer, your mobile phone, and you go to sleep, you know, and let them work.
The competitive streak, it stretches all the way to the time zone. I mean, I can see what's going to happen now. We're all going to be on the date line, aren't we? Where's that, Fiji or somewhere? Just to be one step ahead. Hopeless cases.
Well, and for the teams that have stayed in Japan, it is just a two-hour flight from Tokyo to Shanghai. Are we all excited for Formula One's return to China?
It's amazing. I just looked at the rerun of the last race there, and wow, how the world has changed. Valtteri Bottas was on pole position. I mean, it's astonishing, isn't it? How far you... And Carlos Sainz was in a McLaren.
I think we're all looking forward to it, really. You know, 2019 was the last time there, and how are we going to find the circuit? Has it evolved? Has it changed? I mean, I think there's so many unknowns, really, that it just makes it... Plus the fact that you're going to a massive country, great country with a fantastic track. I mean, let's not forget that the Tilke track, the Shanghai track, is beautiful. It's a great racetrack. You can overtake. There's a lot of type of corners. The weather is always challenging. I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, and the appetite of the Chinese fans for Formula One. We got Zhou Guan Yu on the grid, the first full-time Chinese driver. How is that going to affect things? He's got his own grandstand opposite the Sauber pit garage this year. It's sold out in 4 minutes.
Wow.
that gives us an indication, I think, of how different it's going to feel. But as you guys say, last time we raced in China was 2019. Lewis Hamilton led Valtteri Bottas to a Mercedes 1-2 with the Ferrari of Sebastian Vettel taking third. This year is the first time the current generation of cars has raced at the Shanghai International Circuit. So there are a few unknowns going into the weekend. And it's the first F1 sprint of the season as well. So before we discuss who's going to be competitive, let's just remind you of the schedule. On Friday, the first practice session is followed by sprint qualifying. That's new for this year. On Saturday, we have the sprint race in the morning, followed by qualifying for the Grand Prix in the afternoon. And then it's 56 laps of racing on Sunday. And do check the official Formula One website or app to find your local timings for each session. But Pedro, let's start with you. You raced in Shanghai three times with a best finish of P5 for McLaren back in 2006. Can you take us through a lap of the track and tell us about its main characteristics?
Yeah, well, it's a very complete track in the sense that you go into turn one, for example, you carry a lot of speed in, you hardly brake, you just downshift through the gears, let the engine engine stop you around the corner. It just tightens tight, you know, it's just every meter just becomes slower and slower. So you just have to work the car on entry stability. There's a bump going into the first corner, and you just have to make sure that you use the engine, not too much the brakes, to stop the car, because then you carry a lot of speed in. You need a strong front end to make that tight corner. It's around 270 degrees, really tight. Change of direction, important to put the power down. You need a lot of good traction coming off turn three, and then after that it's a bit stop and go. You just go into turn six, which is a very second gear corner, very slow with hard braking, good overtaking opportunity as well. You come out of that corner, it's just the most beautiful part of the circuit, which is turn seven and eight. Which is seven will be flat easy, I guess, with these ground effect cars. Then turn eight is a change of direction, high speed, also a bump going in. You just downshift and put the power down again. Then two left-handers, which are quite easy, to be honest. You just need a good traction to come out. First DRS zone, another good braking corner next, turn 11 and 12. It's very slow. Just have to make sure that the car jumps over the inside curb as much as you can and straight line that corner. And then there is this turn 13, which is long, very long, banked, flat, which is just flat in qualifying. Then in the race, the rear end always wants to step out and leads you to the 1.2 kilometer long straight, DRS again. Just need good efficiency, and it's where a lot of the lap time is, really, is in how quick your DRS effect will be, and also the top speed. Last two corners, hard braking, turn 14, which is the best place to overtake. There's been so many different lines there going in. You just have to protect, but if you overprotect on the entry, you will be slow on the exit. And then the last corner, which is medium speed, and it's just a 90-degree corner, which is easy to overdo it and go wide. So all in all, there is corners of all type. You have low speed, you have braking, you have hard braking, you have high speed, 7 and 8 as well. So it's a difficult track for the car, I would say, because you need, and also you need efficiency on the straight to be fast on that 1.2 kilometer straight. So it is demanding, I would say, on the cars more than on the drivers.
They've gone a step softer with the tyre compared to Suzuka, haven't they? Which, you say it's demanding. Is it not as abrasive then?
Well, it's a good question, Damon. I mean, I think that one of the questions that everyone was asking in Suzuka was, especially the drivers, is what type of asphalt and circuit are we going to find? You know, there hasn't been hardly any racing, proper racing for several years. Have they resurfaced the track? We are not aware. It was already pretty abrasive. So just if they haven't really resurfaced the track, it will be even more abrasive. But China has always traditionally been a one-stopper, mainly because you lose 24 seconds plus on the pit stop. So you always try to do just one stop. We'll see. I don't know. I think it's great. You know, I think that the fact that there's so many questions that we don't know, in the simulator, we don't have the actual roughness and evolution of the track asphalt from 2019, which makes it challenging. The fact that Tom was saying we have a sprint weekend in front of us. How good is that? No, how good is that going into a sprint weekend without having a lot of testing? It's a challenge. It's great.
Oh, so you do welcome that, because I was going to ask, you know, just that one practice session before going into sprint quali is massively demanding for the teams.
I'd like it, Pedro. I think any time that the format is turned on its head, there's opportunity. You know, it's a bit like when it rains or something like that. I think you've got more chance. It's not good if you're at the front because you want to preserve your position. You want to protect and you want all things to be equal, because then you know you're going to be quick and you're going to be on the front. But if you've got uncertainty, I think that's great opportunity for people who ordinarily, like people like Fernando, would, I'm sure he'd love it.
Fernando, actually, what he would like is to go directly into qualifying. I mean, he sometimes mentioned it. He said he doesn't need to warm up. He doesn't need another set of tires to go faster. It's just bang, you know, the first lap is it. That's it. That's the fastest he will be the whole weekend because he doesn't need to to get up to the speed. So, but I think it's good. It's good for the drivers to adapt, you know, to make sure that they don't have too much time to change the car setups, to learn the tricks of the track. So I think sprint format always helps, makes the best drivers shine a bit more.
Best drivers, but also the best cars, right? So Red Bull will go into this weekend feeling pretty confident.
That will always happen. I mean, the reality is that the best cars will always shine, but the best drivers sometimes are not given the chance because by the time you get to Q3, for example, all the drivers have had like 8 or 9 set of new tires really to find the limit. That is the biggest difference.
Well, look, who is this track going to suit? So if you were quick at Suzuka, you're going to be quick anywhere, right? So Red Bull go in as favourites. What about the battle between, let's say, Ferrari and McLaren? How do you see that one panning out this weekend?
I think McLaren are worried about their straight line speed. I think they were saying that in terms of this event, they're going to just have to, be tough and grin and bear it because I think they're going to suffer on straight line. But I mean, their high speed and medium speed is quite good. But I think when they got on the straights, I think they were quite dragged. For some reason, their car's draggy. I don't know. They seem to run quite a lot of wing, but I can't honestly say that that's a scientific analysis. It's just something that looks it looks like that on the telly. but no, that's what they think they're gonna be. But definitely tire preservation. If Ferrari have shown that they've got, if you know, chartered that amazing stint, albeit in clean air in Suzuka, you know, I think once you get clean air on the car, you can go for a long time, and that's really a factor which you can't predict. I mean, you know, you have to stay out when everyone's pitted, and then you've got clean air. But or you're a long way behind the people in the lead, so you've got two ways to get clean air: be in the lead or be very slow.
It's interesting how Andrea Stella, the team principal of McLaren, said on F1 Nation last week that it's going to be a straightforward development battle between Ferrari and McLaren this year. But he does think McLaren can win a race in 2024. I thought that was especially bullish from him, given, you know, how they were outpaced really at Suzuka by both Ferrari and Red Bull.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. I mean, I think that Andrea is knows more than us, you know, about their development program. So I think that he's banking those comments based on the fact that he knows that they will have some upgrades soon and that they're doing well. You know, normally you wouldn't say something like that if you don't know you had more information. But it will be an interesting race, China, in the sense that I think that we have seen from the very first races that Red Bull continues to be extremely strong. It's a very versatile car, so works in any type of corners at different ride heights. It's not very much affected by the wind gusts as other teams. So they will be the car to beat. I mean, that's not... But I think that the important factor here will be how much degradation there will be. If it's a high-deck circuit, it will benefit Ferrari because they have proven to be a very good car team managing the tires. So we will see. We will see, but it's going to be a tough one, really, on the teams and the drivers, because it's as we said, it's a sprint format.
It seems like everyone is either starting a side hustle or becoming their own boss at the moment. And do you know what they're hearing a lot of? That's the sound of another sale on Shopify, the all-in-one commerce platform to start, run, and grow your business. Shopify is revolutionizing millions of businesses worldwide with its simplistic approach to online and in-person selling. It's got all of your sales channels covered, from a shopfront-ready POS system to its all-in-one e-commerce platform, and it even helps you start selling across social media marketplaces like Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. Every business is different, and Shopify knows that. That's what I like about it. It doesn't matter if you're selling upcycled furniture or fine art. Its industry-leading tools are designed to give you complete control over your brand without needing to learn any skills in design or coding. And most importantly, the confidence to take your business to the next level. It doesn't matter where you are on your journey, Shopify will support your success every step of the way with its award-winning help and an extensive business course library on hand to guide you at every turn. I think it's incredibly empowering for entrepreneurs. So it's time to get serious about selling and get Shopify today. This is Possibility, powered by Shopify. Sign up for a £1 per month trial period at shopify.co.uk/nation, all lowercase. Go to shopify.co.uk/nation to take your business to the next level. shopify.co.uk/nation. Pedro, can we talk a little bit more about Aston Martin's start to the season? The team was second in the constructors' standings after the first four races in 2023 with 87 points. Okay, that did include a sprint race in Baku, so there were extra points available there. But this year, after the opening four races, you're fifth with only 33 points. What's your assessment of the job the team's doing at the minute?
Well, I mean, it's true that last year, by this time, we had many podiums and... But if you look at the difference with Red Bull, I think we are closer this year than we were last year. The fact is that we have a very strong Ferrari, a very strong McLaren this year, which was not the case last season. So all in all, I think we are closing the gap, which is the first target. And after that, we are improving the car massively on race degradation, basically. We're strong in qualifying. We had a lot of degradation in Bahrain. We have improved that massively over the past few races. So we went to Jeddah, for example, and it was a low deck circuit, and everyone said, "Yeah, okay, but you improved the degradation because there was not a lot of degradation. In fact, with the hard tires, it was almost zero." And then we were here in Suzuka with a two stopper with a very high deck race in front of us, and we dealt with that very well. And also starting on a soft tire when everyone was on a medium to start with, some even with hard. So all in all, I think that there are many positives in the season. But I understand that everyone wants us to be on the podium. We also, that's the next point is that now we are closer to the front, but we have to be even closer because there's other teams that have done a better job, which is Ferrari and McLaren at the moment.
What did the updates that you guys ran in Suzuka, what did they deliver in terms of performance?
Well, it's always the same fight to get more points of downforce, less drag. You know, it's been like this since Damon times. Really, it hasn't changed much.
I'm trying to think how far we can go back to since they invented the wheel. I think you might, or since they started going faster than about 30 miles an hour, probably.
Yes. So that is the game. I mean, we just all the teams are on this development phase, trying to introduce changes that make the car have more downforce, less drag, but also easier to drive. You know, because I think that is also a point that if you make a car that works all through the rear right height, you just make a car that is easier to drive in high speed and low speed corners. Because with these ground effect cars, they're really peaky. You can make a car really good in low speed, but then it's terrible in high speed. So you just have to make sure that you widen the operating window of the rear right height. That is key. That is key, and the control porpoising. So it's not, I mean, of course, the game is points. More points of downforce, less drag. But there's other side effects that were not as important as they are right now. And that's why it's so difficult. You have a new aero package and you need to do an aero map. You need to understand the aero package, where it works, how to set up the car, the rear right height, the front right height. It is so, so complex nowadays.
Pedro, one last thing about Aston. Lance Stroll came on the radio in Suzuka and was bemoaning the straight line speed. He also said that he had the wrong rear wing, but why was he struggling so much compared with Fernando?
Well, it's just we had a new aero package, as you know, and we had the FP2 was wet. So therefore, there were a lot of things we wanted to try with the new aero package that we didn't have time enough time. Fernando was with the old aero package all through Friday. So therefore, for Saturday, we went on different directions. Fernando ran less downforce and Lance went for a higher downforce package, which was not the good decision, really. And he was struggling on straight line speed. He then qualified badly as well. And it's very difficult to overtake with a faster car overall if your top speed is lower. So that was the main reason. But anyway, it was we took some decisions based on a very limited running on Friday and they were wrong.
Let's talk about Williams. Paul Logan has had a really tough start to the season. What advice would you give Logan Sargeant in terms of his driving, his mental approach, given everything he's been through?
There's only so much you can do. There's things you can affect and things you can't affect. And the things you can affect, obviously, are the things you need to put all your focus on. And that means driving. I mean, I don't know whether, I think that his crash at Suzuka was a sign that he felt he had to do something brilliant, you know, as soon as possible. And I think that the panic should not set in. You need to keep a cool head and just say, listen, there's only so much you can do. And you have to drive a little bit within yourself. You can't suddenly, you know, become Max Verstappen in one mighty leap. You know, you have to know yourself. So if he just does a good, solid job in whatever race he comes up against and just puts all the rest of it out of his head, because there's nothing he can do about it anyway, then we'll see what happens.
My best advice would be work hard, do a lot of simulator days in the factory, make sure that there's nothing, no wheel unturned or, you know, from his side. And also remind him that not all the mistakes have been done by him. Let's not forget that the crash in Australia was Alex Albon that crashed the car, destroyed the car. And we are seeing many crashes from Williams drivers, some unfortunate. We're just focusing on Logan Sargeant, but come on, man. I mean, I think we have to give him a break as well. It's not only him there. There's been mistakes, some unfortunate racing incidents like Suzuka, which can happen. And just work hard, keep doing what you're doing. Make sure that not because you feel unhappy or depressed at one point, you start not working as hard, you know, because it's very difficult to keep pushing yourself every morning if things are not going your way. And that's it. You know, I'm pretty sure he will turn the wheel.
It's almost like just got to take everything corner by corner. Literally just don't. All that matters is doing each corner right. You know, you join them all up together and the lap will be better. And then you've got a better lap. And then you go out again and you've got that as your foundation. It really is. You can break it down into making it very, very simple rather than complicated.
Damon, when you started talking corner by corner, and given that we're talking about Williams, I immediately assumed you were talking about, well, the front right's been taken off, now the rear left's been taken off, because they have had three big crashes in the last two races, haven't they? Alex Albon's car was written off in Australia. Logan Sargeant had that big impact in FP1 in Japan that meant he missed the following session. And then, of course, Alex, as you say, just had that collision with Daniel Ricciardo on the opening lap. I mean, given that they don't have a spare chassis and they won't have one until the Miami Grand Prix in a month's time, does that change your approach in the cockpit? Are we going to see them not going for those 50-50s, whereas they might have in the past? It must play on your mind, given everything the team's gone through.
Well, I think that it does. No? It does at one point. I always say that you always have to be careful if you don't have enough spare parts. Sometimes it's front wings, you know. I mean, it's not always the monocoque or the spare chassis. We're living in the budget cap era, which means that there's not unlimited parts in the garage waiting for you, you know, being replaced. So you need to give it all when it counts. So if you crash in qualifying, it's part of the game. If you crash in free practice, maybe as a driver, you should have known better. That's always, I always try to follow this mantra.
Given Pedro, it's a sprint. I mean, the jeopardy is double now, isn't it? And oh my God, I wouldn't want to be James Fowles. I don't know what I'd say to them all right now. I mean, I'd probably say, I'll tell you what, go out, do a couple of laps, bring the car, park it, and we'll start at the back. Just stay out of trouble. Let's get to the race. Let's get to qualifying. Forget this sprint business.
They really need a good result, and they do not need me to remind them that in 2019, Alex Albon actually missed qualifying after a big crash in FP3. So just keep it clean, guys. Anyone else that we should be praising, looking out for perhaps as we go into the Chinese Grand Prix? I mean, RB and Yuki Tsunoda have had two cracking races in a row. Haas, very strong performances as well. Anyone else?
Joe is obviously the guy who's, you know, his home race. How do we assess his performance in F1? I think he's been pretty impressive and pretty solid. I don't think, you know, he's not perhaps set the world on fire, but I mean, he's definitely been better than I expected him to be.
Well, I look back to his race in Qatar last year when he went from last to P9. In the race, in those really tough conditions. Remember the heat of Qatar? His race pace, I think, is really strong. And the team has said as much. James Key, the technical director, has said there's nothing wrong with his race pace. If there's an area we need a bit of improvement in 2024, it's his qualifying pace. And frustratingly for Joe, that's where actually he's been struggling in the last couple of races. You know, he actually lined up last in Suzuka last time out. Yet the gaps are really, really small. But I think he's acquitted himself well. Pedro, you?
Yeah, I agree with you, Tom. We should not forget how strong Valtteri is on a quali lap, you know, how many times he out-qualified Lewis. So therefore, he's facing himself against a very, very strong guy over one lap. So he's possibly facing one of the strongest guys in qualifying as well. So I have a huge respect for Joe.
He's a film star as well. You know that he's produced his own documentary. It's called The First One. It's in Chinese. And the premiere is on tomorrow, actually, Tuesday of Race Week in Shanghai. So it's a huge week for him, both on track and off track. And wouldn't it be fab if he became the first Chinese driver to score points in his home race. So good luck, Joe, this weekend. And gentlemen, can I say good luck to both of you? Because we now have Quiz the Nation.
Oh, dear.
The moment that I know you've both been waiting for.
Dread. Dread. Dread, Tom. It's the part we dread. Well, I do anyway.
Now, look, seeing as we haven't been racing in China since 2019, this feels like the perfect chance to brush up on your knowledge of the Chinese Grand Prix. And as ever, we have four rounds, qualifying, sprint, race and the podium. So, Damon, we'll start with you because I know how much you love a good quiz. Are you good at pub quizzes just generally? Or is it just Quiz the Nation that you don't like?
You know, if you give me enough time, I'll get the answer. But I've got to that age where I kind of go, I know this one. And then it takes me about, but someone else has got it by then.
Right, well, prove it. So let's go into round one. It is qualifying. You'll each face one quick fire question worth 1 point. So Damon, which team took their first ever victory at the 2009 Chinese Grand Prix?
First ever victory. 2009.
Look, Tom, I mean, I'm ready. I'm ready to go.
Pedro's got his hand up. No pressure.
God, dear. Okay, give it go. Guess, Pedro, I don't know.
No, I'm asking you.
I can't even guess.
Go on, now just think.
First victory, right? Yeah. Flipping out. What about this one then? What could it have been? Toro Rosso.
Is that your final answer?
It was. Yeah. Go on.
No. So Toro Rosso was Monza.
Monza with that. Yeah. Monza with yeah. Damn.
And as you will know, so Toro Rosso actually won Red Bull's first race in Formula One before the big team, which won in China 2009. Sebastian Vettel leading home Mark Webber.
I can't believe that. Really? That was the first one they won in 2001. Yeah. Okay, yeah. I'm thinking of 2019. That's why I'm... Oh, God. It was a simple error of...
Yeah, it's only one digit. Yeah.
One digit. I was only a decade out.
Pedro, are you ready, Pedro? Which driver earned a drive-through penalty in the 2010 Chinese Grand Prix for jumping the start? The first time he'd ever committed such an offence in his Formula One career.
In which year?
2010. Drive-through penalty for jumping the start.
Man, they are really difficult. No, these questions now. I mean, could be Fernando? Fernando, come on. Yeah, why not?
Correct.
Really?
Ah! Yeah.
Oh, that was...
We got there, right.
I just gambled. It was a massive gamble. I knew he had a penalty, but I didn't really know if it was for a jump start. So it was a bit lucky.
Right. Let's go on to the sprint. Round two. This game is sudden death. And I want you to name the 16 drivers who have finished on the podium at the Chinese Grand Prix since its debut on the Formula One calendar back in 2004. Each of you will take it in turns to name a driver. If you give an incorrect answer, repeat one that's already been given, or if you just fail to provide one, then you're out. The last person standing wins a point. Damon, we will start with you. So we're after the 16 drivers who have finished on the podium. All right?
Lewis Hamilton.
Correct.
Seb Vettel.
Correct.
Max Verstappen.
Correct.
Oh, that was good.
Why was Max Verstappen even...
Because
a question?
I suddenly thought this is 5 years ago. What happened? Where was he? He wasn't actually running at the front, was he? So maybe...
Fernando.
Pedro, you said Fernando then, didn't you? So Damon, back to you.
On the podium, Valtteri Bottas.
Correct. Pedro.
Daniel Ricciardo.
Correct.
Really? Blimey.
Damon.
So who else have we got?
Tensions building.
Valtteri Bottas. Nico Rosberg.
Correct.
Jenson Button.
Correct.
Mark Webber.
Correct.
Oh dear. That was... Okay, it's getting tough now.
There's one really obvious one.
Kimi
is correct. Yes. Sorry, I was just going down my list. Yes, Kimi. There's one really obvious one that you haven't got yet.
There's one really obvious one we haven't got yet. That's ridiculous. Michael Schumacher.
Back to you, Pedro. It's getting hard now. It's getting hard.
Okay. I would say... I'm going to take a big risk now. I would say... Montoya.
Is that your final answer?
Yeah, it is.
In which case, you are wrong. Montoya has not finished on the podium at the Chinese Grand Prix. So that means Damon Hill has won the sprint round.
Wow.
And for those of you listening who want to know who else has finished on the podium, there was Rubens Barrichello, who won the first Chinese Grand Prix back in 2004. Felipe Massa, Ralf Schumacher, Giancarlo Fisichella, and Danny Kvyat. So those are the 16 drivers. Very well done to Damon. So crikey, you can cut the tension with a sledgehammer. It is now 1-1. Let's go into the race now. This round is what happened next. You're each going to hear some commentary from previous Chinese Grand Prix, and I want you to tell me what happened next to win a point. So, Pedro, what happened next at the 2005 Chinese Grand Prix?
Here in the pit lane, a drama. Michael Schumacher on his way to the grid at slow speed to conserve fuel.
Crashed against Christian Albers. Or Christian Albers that was on a overtaking him on turn six, on the approach of turn six, on the lap to the grid.
Very well done. And
I remember very well about that.
He remembers a turn as well. That's very impressive. Yeah.
Schumacher was given an official reprimand by the FIA, and both drivers had to start the race from the pit lane in their spare cars. Schumacher then spun out.
Well, not a good day for Michael then. That was quite a rare one.
Yeah, it was not a good day for Michael. Right, Damon, what happened next at the 2007 Chinese Grand Prix?
And as you saw, Jensen Button is out there. Leclerc is doing a good job.
Lucky turn into the pits anyway. Comes Lewis Hamilton.
That's an easy one. He basically went off into the gravel trap on the way into the pit lane.
Into the pits anyway. Comes Lewis Hamilton. He goes straight on into the gravel trap. Can he keep the wheel spinning? Can he get some momentum going? No, he can't. It's all going to get away from him.
In his rookie season, Lewis Hamilton arrived at the penultimate race in China as the championship leader, 12 points ahead of his teammate Fernando Alonso and 17 ahead of Kimi Raikkonen, but struggling for grip as he came in to change to dry tyres at the end of lap 30. Hamilton slid into the gravel and couldn't escape. Raikkonen went on to win the race and take the world championship in Brazil. So it is 2-2. Guys, let's now head to the podium, the final round of this week's Quiz the Nation. And your task is to reveal which mystery Formula One guest I'm talking about. I'll give you three clues, one at a time. If you guess correctly after the first clue, you'll win 3 points. After the second clue, you'll receive 2 points. And after the final clue, a single point. Once you think you know the answer, shout it out. So, clue one for 3 points. This person's idol is Fernando Alonso.
Carlos Sainz.
Incorrect.
Oh. Am I out now? Is that it?
No, you're not.
Okay, another go. Okay.
Pedro?
Wow, no idea, man.
Okay, well, in case we will go on to clue two, this for 2 points. This person finished second in the 2021 Formula 2 Championship. 2021 Formula 2 Championship. He finished second.
Second? Lando Norris?
He did finish second in Formula 2, but not in 2021 because Lando was already in Formula 1 in 2021.
Damn.
Let's go on to clue three. This for 1 point. And if either of you gets this, you will be the winner. So we're on to the last lap. Who's going to take the lunge down the inside? This person is the first full-time Formula One driver from their country and will be very popular this weekend.
Sergio Agüero.
Joe.
Damon was first. Damon, you are our winner.
This is something that many people didn't think could possibly happen today. Damon Hill wins, and I've got to stop because I've got a lump in my throat.
I think that is Damon's first win on Quiz the Nation.
Really?
Very Pedro. Well done to Damon.
Pedro. We've got to do something because the Spanish keep winning all the tennis tournaments. And so
it's just basically a quiz to embarrass us all.
It's achieved its objective.
It's a bit of fun. And for the listeners, it just reminds them of things that have happened at the Chinese Grand Prix in the past and in the future with Zhou Guanyu, of course. Now, one thing we haven't mentioned yet is the 2025 F1 calendar, which was announced last week. It's interesting because the Chinese Grand Prix is one of the races that's moving. Next year, we'll start in Australia on the 16th of March. Then it's China just 1 week later. So Shanghai will be round two of next year's World Championship. For round three, it's just a short hop to Japan. So those two races will be grouped together geographically, as will Bahrain and Saudi Arabia, which are moving to April because Ramadan is in March. And looking further ahead, Las Vegas will be the only Saturday race next season, and we will finish in Abu Dhabi on the 7th of December. And you can see more about next year's calendar on F1.com or the F1 app. Let's check in with our F1 fantasy team now, F1 Nation Racing. The last two races in Australia and Japan have been disappointing for us, scoring less than 100 points at each race. Carlos Sainz, Oscar Piastri and Yuki Tsunoda scored a solid haul for us, but our constructor Williams and Alex Albon let us down. So congratulations to winner team FS, who are living up to their name by leading the F1 Nation World Championship. Chuck's incident is P2 in the standings ahead of Ewa Callow in third. So many congratulations to you three. And I won't tell you where we're currently ranked, but all I can say is that you have to keep scrolling for a very long time to find us. And for Shanghai, we're going to make a couple of changes. We're replacing Alex Albon with Fernando Alonso and Williams with RB. So our lineup is Sainz, Piastri, Alonso, Tsunoda and Magnussen, with Ferrari and RB as our constructors. Let's hope our season can finally get underway at race 5. And remember that F1 Fantasy is free to play and you can join our league at any time. Just search for F1 Nation World Championship to compete against us and other listeners. And don't forget, you'll need to make any changes to your team for the Chinese Grand Prix before sprint qualifying starts on Friday. Well, guys, it's been brilliant to have you both on the show. Let's end in the traditional way and get your predictions. We need a sprint winner and your podium predictions for the Chinese Grand Prix. Pedro, you first.
Okay, I will go for Max winning. We'll go for Checo second. We've said that Red Bull will be strong, so we just have to be coherent with what we say in this respectable show. And I would go for interesting one. I would go for Carlos Sainz again. Copy paste from Suzuka.
Yeah, yeah. And who's your sprint winner, Pedro?
Sprint winner, clearly Max.
Okay. Damon?
I don't think you can go away from Max for the sprint and also to win the race. I'm going to throw one of the Ferraris. Let's say Charles, because I think that Carlos has had quite a lot of good form. So I think Charles is possibly second place for the Grand Prix, and then Checo.
That's good. But why don't we ask Tom? Tom, what's your prediction? Because
I was going to give you my prediction, and I think Max Verstappen, you can't look beyond him for either win. I know you say that McLaren are going to lack straight line speed, but there's something about them that I like. So I'm going to put a Lando Norris on the podium and Charles Leclerc third. So I'm going to go Max, Lando, Charles.
Interesting.
Well, thanks very much again, guys.
Gracias.
Gracias. De nada.
And thank you to everyone at home for listening. The show is nothing without you. This week's episode of F1 Beyond the Grid is with the home hero, Zhou Guanyu, and you can listen to that on your pod feed. And please do watch out for it on the YouTube channel, F1 YouTube channel, from Wednesday as well. And don't forget that tickets for Las Vegas, Miami, Austin, Montreal, Imola, Zandvoort, and the rest of the 2024 season are available now. Go to tickets.formula1.com. But other than that, we will be back next Monday from the Shanghai paddock with our review of the Chinese Grand Prix. Thanks for listening. F1 Nation is produced by Formula One and Audioboom Studios.